The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I remember talking to Ron one summer in the parking lot for probably 20 minutes. Outside of that, it was, hey, Ron. What's going on, Ron? Nice bald, Ron. Nice shorts.
Yes, officer, it seems my husband's been abducted. The man was wearing a blue leisure suit, and the plates were from Kansas. He was a huge, beastly, bulging man.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He'd wear those nasty bike two-button shorts. Bad dresser. But he kept us laughing in training camp.
You and your visualization.
It's unbelievable.
Have brought us more joy on this show.
Joy.
Than anything else.
My cousin-in-law, whose heart is bigger than his brain, is innocent. I'll be more than happy to take a rap on this. On behalf of myself and on behalf of every other employee you rear-ended this Christmas.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
We have hit the trifecta, ladies and gentlemen. Tic-tac-toe, three in a row. Are you wondering what the trifecta is?
Yes.
You can ask the question. It's okay.
Could you tell by my face?
The trifecta is my alma mater, Marquette University, playing in the NCAA tournament as a two-seed BTW today on St. Patrick's Day, one of the best party days in the state, in the country, on a Friday. It doesn't get better than
that.
No,
but that's recipe for disaster.
Oh, there are going to be very few people in the Marquette Nation standing after 5 p.m.
Standing.
Yeah, actually.
One way or the other. People are going down.
Do people still rage at like 6 in the morning?
I'm sure people who do. I don't anymore.
No.
People know. College students, yes.
If you're currently listening to us and raging, please call it.
800-990-3776. We would love to hear from the 7 a.m. rage that you've got going on.
What's your drink of choice at 7 a.m.?
There's something about St. Patrick's Day that is like permitted debauchery, right?
Yes.
Like it's allowed. You go out and you're drinking. I have a very vivid memory of dropping Chaser, who is 14, by the way, off at daycare. Years and years and years ago. And as soon as I dropped him off, it was like, I'm off to the bars. So judge away if you want. But
we can, certainly. But my problem with St. Patrick's Day is like, it's three weekends now. St. Patrick's Day as a holiday is that friend that insists on celebrating their birthday all month long.
What is
like,
the problem?
Oh, it's my birthday week. Oh, it's my birthday
what
weekend.
What is the problem with that? You have a problem with celebrating things? I mean, other than your own birthday, which we know that you do. But like, why wouldn't you extend a celebration?
If you are celebrating yourself that many times throughout
yourself.
The course of a month.
But this isn't yourself. This is the Irish.
But like,
you are Irish, though.
Yeah, I got some Irish in me. But like, they just did. I mean, they had the bar crawl, the Shamrock Shuffle, 2 weeks ago, and then they had like the race for the Shamrock Shuffle and the parade last week. And now we actually have St. Patrick's Day.
Wait, speaking of shamrocks, can we talk about the text that I sent you all this morning from TJ Quinn? TJ Quinn, investigative reporter from ESPN, who put out a very succinct tweet.
I'm sorry.
What?
Continue. I just put together that TJ Quinn is this big investigative reporter that's broken all these news.
Huge. And yes.
What he's investigating today is the shamrock versus the four-leaf clover.
Yes, thank you. So it is a picture of a clover with three leaves. Is that even a clover? I don't know. I don't want to like insult anybody of the Irish.
I believe technically it is, but it's called a shamrock.
Okay, so a shamrock is the three.
Correct.
And that is Irish. And then he showed that the four-leaf clover, which again, I always thought was associated with luck and luck of the Irish. I can understand why people have made this leap. It doesn't feel that egregious. He said it's not Irish. So the four-leaf clover is not Irish, but the shamrock is Irish.
I don't know if that's true.
I didn't get it. I looked at it and I'm like, what the hell is this?
I mean, you can't see, so you probably didn't see the fourth leaf on the second one.
And then the equals with the slash through it was the. But to be fair, there were only six characters on that entire tweet. And the fact that you didn't put it together is not a great endorsement, big guy. So, yes, and we can retweet it from the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account as well. But I had never heard this before. I guess I've always thought that the four-leaf clover was a St. Patrick's Day Irish thing. Like, Gabe, you've got the shirt on right now that has all of the shamrocks on it. And
yeah,
again,
it's the three-leaf shamrock.
HR, don't jam me up here, but can you just unzip your shirt for a minute?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is that a...
Those are shamrocks. I see three.
Yeah, it's three. It's an Aaron Hills polo.
I thought it was Robach. I got excited.
I do have a lot of Robach.
So why isn't the four Irish?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. This is crazy to me. I always assumed, and I guess I've never looked that closely at like Gabe's shirt or other paraphernalia that has the shamrock on it. But apparently it's not the four-leaf clover. So this was news to me this morning. This was like groundbreaking stuff, Gabe.
So this from thespruce.com, the term luck of the Irish is related to four-leaf clovers growing abundantly in Ireland. The four-leaf clover genes can also produce more leaves, making it even rarer. Apparently, the record for stems on a four-leaf clover is 56, which is astounding.
Is it a weed? Because I kill them.
You kill the four-leaf clovers?
Well, I kill clover. I think clover is a weed. Can you eat clover?
These are all great questions that I am going to Google as we speak.
I mean, clover's a spice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, cloves are a spice. I don't know if clover is a spice.
I think you want to check that.
Can you eat clover?
I think you can.
Wild clover is considered poisonous to humans in large quantities. However, in small quantities, it's both edible and potentially beneficial to your health. So how do you know when you've crossed the line?
Same thing with alcohol.
Good point.
Large quantities could be harmful, but little quantities, you'll be fine.
Sort of makes sense why both clover and alcohol are associated with St. Patrick's Day. It's making so much sense. We are definitely doing the tack board right now. The strings, right? Connecting all Carrie Matt. Matheson style.
What if you can smoke clover?
Only one way to find out, big guy.
This to me feels like you can milk anything with nipples. You can smoke anything. I don't know. It's going to all have the same impact, the same effect. So you asked if can you eat clover? We figured that one out. But then there was the next one, not the smoke. There was something else in there. Oh, clover versus cloves.
Yeah.
Is clover a spice?
Cloves are a spice.
That's literally what I said, and he said I was wrong.
Yeah, cloves are a spice.
Well, I didn't say cloves weren't a spice. I just think in addition to, sprinkle a little clover on it.
Cloves, no. Cloves, what are you, the goof of the Lucky Charms? Cloves are the aromatic flower bud of a tree in the family, words that I'm not going to be able to pronounce, lots of words I'm not going to be able to pronounce, but it is in Indonesia, commonly used as a spice, flavoring, or fragrance. Did you know that it was in toothpaste? Cloves are in tooth. You did know that?
I think so.
I did not know that.
He went from I know that to I think so.
I'm gonna go with he knew that because that's right up his alley of somehow knowing that cloves were in toothpaste.
But usually he's confident about that. That was I think so.
So then it has to have a taste.
Cloves? Yeah, it's like a spice.
No. What are we talking about? Talking about the clover?
No.
Is the clover related to the clove?
No.
No. Not at all.
That's what we just established.
What's in toothpaste? Clove or clover?
Mint, usually.
Yeah, mint.
But isn't there that song, Crimson and Clover?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I know what crimson is. I think of the Crimson Tide. And there was a movie that had crimson in it. What was the crimson movie?
Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide with Gene Hackman.
Dang it. Crimson Tide, the movie, and Crimson Tide, Roll Tide. And then clover, we are trying to figure out why clover is associated with St. Patrick's Day as opposed to the four-leaf clover, shamrock. So clover is not associated with St. Patrick's Day. Shamrock is... No, crap. God, I'm sorry.
I don't know what the hell we're talking about right now.
I wish that this was a bit. I wish that this was an act. I am literally confusing myself.
Why did they go with the potato? It would have been much more fitting.
You just want to, look at his shirt. Look at his shirt right now with the clovers.
Am I right?
This would be better if a bunch of potatoes
were on it? But that's
shamrock. Well, at least potato, you can make booze out of it, which is right up their alley. Right?
Okay.
I don't know. Was it the potato famine that made him famous?
Yeah. Probably why they didn't make it potatoes, because they couldn't find them anywhere.
Yeah, they were missing.
Like, potato vodkas, when I used to drink it, was really good.
Yeah, and then you got money and
then
grew
you grew up.
It's like when people make booze out of like old fruit and stuff. Oh, we got these apples that are going to go bad. Make some booze out of it.
Got this fermented grapefruit.
So Marquette obviously playing Vermont today in the NCAA tournament. And I got to tell you guys, there's a part of me that felt like some of the outcomes yesterday that, you know, there were a ton of upsets. It was a great first day of the tournament, as we have come to expect from the NCAA tournament. And some of the outcomes in yesterday's game actually made me feel more confident for Marquette headed into this game today and into their stretch in the tourney. And there was something about, like, with Arizona losing. Well, Arizona is a 2 seed, obviously. Marquette is a 2 seed as well. So there was a part of me that was like, well, good. The 2 seeds got their one team out.
Yep.
It bodes better for Marquette because what was I saying about the 2 seeds? Oh, no more than 2 teams from the same conference. That's not the nugget. Oh, since 1979, all 4 2 seeds have only reached the Sweet 16 6 times.
Okay.
So in 43 years, all 4 2 seeds have reached the Sweet 16 only 6 times. So there's a part of me that was like, thanks for taking that bullet for us, Arizona. Felt like it freed up Marquette to have a deeper run into the tournament. Jack is on the line, 800-990-3776.
What the hell could he possibly want to talk to us about? Well,
Jack is on his way to the Marquette game in Columbus.
Okay, all right.
He's listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and he's not raging yet. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Here in the car with some recent Marquette alumni, we just had to say, we are Marquette! We are Marquette! Tyler Kolek's going to break the single-game assist record. He's going to get over, like, 18 assists. Cam Jones, probably, like, 10 threes. So we're fired up to get to Columbus, let the St. Patrick's Day drinks flow, and watching a great Marquette victory.
That's amazing.
Nice. I love it, too.
Travel safe. Cheer loudly for those of us who are not at the game today.
The only negative here, Jen, and I don't see them losing,
oh God,
but Vermont's color is green.
This is what we're going with.
It's St. Patrick's Day. I'm hearing them out of the spirit.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
Hold on. Let me play the right music here. Go for it, you.
Just saying. Now, I grew up about 4 hours from the University of Vermont.
Is that all you got?
That's it.
I thought he was going to say, and there's an old wives' tale about Vermont, how it was established by an Irish settler. The Irish settler combined with the green. I'm not sure about Marquette's chances today. I actually feel really good about Marquette's chances. Did I see the line was like 10.5?
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
And we have to pick the teams. We're in this contest all of a sudden, begrudgingly, with Scalzo and Brust. And you did the picking against the spread yesterday,
yeah.
And I got to do the picking against the spread today. And I guess we're going to let Chewy, watch.
What's the bet? I didn't even know there was a bet.
So that's I get a text at 10 a.m. yesterday, an hour before game start. Hey, do you guys want to pick all the games against the spread? You know, there's something that we do every single year and look forward to doing every single year and prepare for all year long. Do you want to, you know, wager against us? And we give you an hour to prepare. What's the problem? What do you...
So,
of course, I did it because they're a bunch of idiots on that show, and we're going to run over them regardless.
Bit of peer pressure.
Like, what are we doing, man? Like, give me some heads up, Scalzo and Brust.
They appealed to Gabe's competitive nature is what they did. And Gabe doesn't like to back down from a challenge, so we're in it.
So how'd we do yesterday? Not we. How'd you guys do yesterday?
8-8.
I'll decide when it's a we.
Depending on
I'll
the
let
outcome.
You know.
We're 1 game behind. They went 9-7. We went 8-8.
Yeah, but they got Ben, for crying out loud.
What does that mean?
Idiot doesn't know basketball.
Need spoiler alert. It's the tournament.
Right?
Yeah.
You're trying to make a joke about
his
lack
of success.
Well,
he's been in the tournament. He knows the tournament.
No, like, it's the tournament. It's just random. Like, yesterday, I was on both ends of the bad beats. There was a kid from Corpus Christi A&M who hit a 3 at the buzzer in a 20-ish point game against Bama that made CC A&M cover, so I lost that one because I had Bama. And then, with 0.7 seconds left, there was a foul on a defensive rebound that went down to the other end in College of Charleston, who was catching 5 points, ended up losing by 6. With 0.7 seconds left, kid hit both free throws, ended up on the wrong side of that one.
Did you get to see the outcome in the Virginia-Furman game at all, Chu? Did you get to see any of the highlights? Did you get to see the end of the game?
I saw the Princeton game. where the guy drilled it. Is that where he drilled the three with 2.2?
Yeah. No, that was the Virginia Furman game. That was the Furman Virginia.
Yeah, I did see that.
They got trapped down at the baseline, right? Furman traps him down at the baseline, and the dude panics. He absolutely panics and just chucks it into the air down to midcourt, and Furman was like, grabs the ball, and then they dribble back down to their end of the court, knock down a three to take the lead and win the game.
What's Tony Bennett? Tony Bennett either wins it all or loses in the first round.
Huh? Virginia and Tony Bennett.
Yes.
Because you have said this for years,
literally,
too.
That's what happens.
Yes.
Well, you've said this for years. Oh, win a championship, we can suck for the next 10. He is really testing that theory out.
Yes. Why, he's not. The threat of losing his job.
Absolutely not. He won a national championship at Virginia, for crying out loud. But I don't know if they've won a tournament game since they won it all in 2019.
And people are really critical of the way they play basketball.
That's boring as ever.
Well, I mean,
not here in Wisconsin, they're not. Two things. One, they love the Bennetts. Two, they're used to that style of basketball here in the state of Wisconsin.
When you actively refuse to play offense, it turns out that's not a good recipe to win in the tournament.
So we will all be cheering for Marquette today. Gabe wore his MU, what is it, a zip up? We got a zip up going on over
track
there.
Track jacket, whatever
so
you want to call
it. So this is my version of gold today. I looked this morning, all my Marquette sweatshirts.
That's green. That is neon green.
It's like lime for sure.
It's
not
yellow.
That. It's not close to yellow.
That is neon green.
This is yellow.
Jen,
that's
not.
Highlighter green.
Yeah. It's highlighter yellow.
Here.
Yes, we're doing the tennis ball thing with my sweatshirt.
I have a Sharpie in here. This is not.
Yes, that's the same thing.
That's more green than this.
No, it's not. This is yellow.
Super more green.
And you know what it is? Maybe the black behind me is messing it up, but this is a neon yellow shirt.
Where are you watching the game?
That is not yellow. There's no universe is that yellow.
No,
it
that's not.
It is yellow.
No,
it's
not.
I'm gonna take a picture
and put it on the
phone. I mean, I'm colorblind, and that's yellow. That is definitely yellow.
Your Honor, I rest my case. Yes. Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
It feels too easy. It feels too neat. It feels too. Not enough conflict.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts were.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill, nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
Great to have our friend and teammate Jason Wilde joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Jason. I was saying this is the trifecta. You got St. Patrick's Day, you got Marquette playing in the tournament today, and you got Friday. Like, it doesn't all come together that nicely that often.
And it's Sydney's 12th birthday.
Oh! See, now that'd be a good trifecta as well, right? Like, you could replace one of those things with your birthday being on a Friday or a Saturday, right? If it falls on those days, that to me feels good as well. And also your favorite sports team playing in a meaningful game.
Yeah, although you Marquette people, I just, Homer took a shot at us Wisconsin folks when he was on the other day. Like, I just, again, I have Marquette in the Final Four. I'm pulling for Shaka. I'm pulling for them. I just don't understand why it's not ever reciprocated.
No, Jason, you and I are cut from the same cloth. You and I are cut from the same cloth. I am always state pride. And again, as I've expressed to people before, some of this is because Marquette doesn't have a football team. So then the football team that I adopt throughout the college football season is the Wisconsin Badgers. I want them to do well. I'm super excited about Luke Fickle. And for me, that extends over to the basketball team. I want them to do well, and people tell me that I'm not a true Marquette fan then.
Yeah, we need more Marquette fans and alumni like you, Jen. But
okay,
I think
hold
the
on.
World needs
hold
more
on.
People like you.
I got to stand up for the Marquette alumni here because every time this conversation comes up, every time it comes up, it's like, oh, Wisconsin never roots against Marquette. We would never do that. We don't care about Marquette. And yet, if you look at Homer's mentions, the reason why he's probably taking a shot is because the man is beat down from Wisconsin people saying, oh, the Big East is a mid-major. Oh, Marquette's not that good. Nice job winning a mid-major conference doesn't really count. Like, there are Wisconsin fans out there that are the exact same way, and I'm just sick of hearing from Wisconsin people like, no, that's not us. We're not like that.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is I have a bunch of teammates that are Marquette alumni, and I cheer for their alma mater, and they definitely don't cheer for mine. But, again, I just hope they win. for my bracket and for the happiness of people that I care about.
You have to excuse Gabe because he has been on one for the last few days. He's very cranky yesterday.
He was very cranky
the day before. Like, he's having a very tough time coming to grips with the inevitability that Aaron Rodgers will not be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And question mark, what's next? Question mark.
Oh, and you were unhappy about, what were you unhappy about? You're unhappy about still paying Aaron Jones. Keeping David Bakhtiari. Oh, and then it was Keyshawn Nixon got paid too much money.
Well, I mean, he did.
Well, he got like $4 million base, Jason.
He got $1.85 million to sign, and then he got like $1.3 million as his base salary. Then he's got some per game roster bonuses, and then he's, you know, if they win the Super Bowl and he's like the MVP or something. Like it. Look, I totally agreed with your assessment of him. But they got bigger problems. Seriously, the guy that is on this program should probably get back on the regiment.
Start getting loose.
Because they got nobody at tight end.
Mayor. This is our campaign, Jason. We want to bring Michael Mayer to Green Bay.
Right now, anybody is an option, right? Like, they have to, like, I think it would be great. So they hold the 15th. And the 45th pick, I believe. I want them to go wide receiver in first round now that Rodgers isn't there. And then I want them to go tight end in the second round. Like, I think that would be just the most apropos draft that would kind of reiterate that Goody hates Rodgers. That now that his guy's the quarterback, he goes wide receiver in the first round, tight end in the second. Whoever he picks in the third round doesn't matter because they're going to suck. And then he makes a couple more good picks on day three.
Jason, what are they going to do at quarterback? I mean, Minshew signed, Mariota signed. What are they? They're running out of guys here.
Wait, what? Mariota signed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With Eagles. The Eagles.
The dream is dead. The dream is dead. So my dream.
What are they going to do there?
You got a problem with Danny Etling? I mean, Danny Etling.
Not yet, but I might.
You probably will. Yeah.
Chewy is taking
Ben Curtis wandering around.
Chewy is taking the wait and see approach to every decision this morning.
I think that's a good approach to take. It's certainly the opposite of Gabe, who's decided that everything sucks.
Yes.
Do I think the backup quarterback position is important? Sure. I mean, maybe they're just waiting to make sure that they're not going to have a $60 million backup quarterback that they weren't able to trade. I mean, they got to figure that out first. So there's a bunch of guys. I agree with you that I personally, with him in that position, I would go with a veteran guy, you know, kind of like Hasselbeck was late in his career, who had started a bunch of games. I was hoping Mariota would be their backup because he had history with Matt LaFleur. And I have the cutest picture of the girls when they were like 3 and 4 standing in front of Marcus's locker when he was still at Oregon, that I was looking forward to showing him when he was in the locker room. But instead, they'll find somebody. Or remember what they did in 08, which, you know, Brian Brohm was terrible, but they elevated Rodgers. They obviously wound up trading Favre in August, but when they thought Favre was permanently retired, they drafted Brian Brohm in the second round, and they drafted Matt Flynn in the seventh round, and Matt Flynn turned out to be a pretty darn good backup quarterback. So, you know, you're right. You would love to have that veteran-type guy. Jameis Winston signed already too, right?
Correct.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, you want my guess? Carson Wentz.
Now
I'm out.
Sorry, that was just a
reaction.
What
about Gardner Minshew? I think he'd be a fun guy. Just like
he just signed.
Oh, geez, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I went
through that this
awesome
morning.
Too.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Like late
late
this
late last
Colts.
Night.
Yeah,
because I wrote down the Marcus Mariota to the Eagles thing. I've got this running list of quarterbacks here: Jacoby Brissett to Washington. You guys just said Gardner Minshew went to the Colts. Baker Mayfield went to the Bucks. So Carson Wentz is still on the list. Did Teddy Bridgewater sign? You guys want to give me an update on that one?
I think Teddy's available.
I love Teddy. Teddy.
But again, if you're a quarterback right now, and you look at the Packers situation, like they are, pot committed, isn't that the phrase from poker, to Jordan Love, right? I mean, they're literally pushing out the door a future Hall of Famer. They are so sick of him that they're telling everyone how sick they are of him for the last month and a half plus. If you were a backup who's thinking, oh, if this guy sucks, I'll get an opportunity to be the starter, I don't think the Packers fit that bill. Like, I think no matter how much Jordan may struggle, as long as he's healthy, they obviously are going to play him. They're not going to bench him in favor of, if it had been Mariota or Gardner Minshew or whoever else. So it's not that appealing of a job.
Yeah,
if
but,
I'm a backup who wants to start.
Yeah, it's not like Marcus Mariota is going to be starting in Philadelphia either, though, Jason.
No, you're right. No, I agree with that. I agree. But at least, you know, if I'm Marcus Mariota, I'm also thinking, well, maybe I'll get a ring. And I'm probably not thinking that if I'm looking at the Packers.
That's fair. If the Jets aren't willing to give up a first-round pick, should the Packers wait until after June to trade Aaron Rodgers so then they can split the cap hit over two seasons?
Yeah, I would be curious to know, and I have not, you know, talked to Russ Ball or Goody or anybody else about this. I wonder what day on their calendar they have circled and said, all right, this is where we get to the, we better not F around and find out, right? Like, if I'm, and I know I've broken record on this, but if this continues to be, and I talked to somebody else last night that said he didn't think that they are being realistic wanting a first-round pick either, given their situation with Rodgers. If they are going to continue to dig their heels in on that, at what date are they going, okay, we're getting too close to having to pay him the $60 million, the $58.3 million option bonus? Now we have to cut our losses now. I would love to know if they have a red circle on a date on their calendar because, you know, again, first week of the regular season, if he's still there, they have to pay it. And then if they try to cut him or trade him, then it's this gargantuan cap number that they would have to start cutting guys that are on their roster. And they can't. That's why I keep saying that I think the Jets, if they don't have their owner get impatient and worried about, oh my God, we're going to lose Aaron Rodgers, I just think that they should call every bluff the Packers try. They don't want a $60 million backup. They don't want Rodgers around. They don't want the circus that it would create if he came to OTAs. I would just, if I'm the Jets, I want to make them come down to my price. And I just don't know what Goody's thinking in terms of being stubborn.
Jason, we appreciate you. Have a great day and happy birthday to your young lady today.
Thank you, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch and a myriad of programs here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. Craig Karmazin coming up next.
X Golf and American Family Field is your go-to open year-round indoor golf destination. X Golf, 7 simulators, PGA Pro-led training. So yes, if you're looking to work on your game, Andy Barrett, great pro to go out there to get some lessons. HD TVs, full bar, restaurant, ballpark, backdrop. Make the perfect place to get together for a happy hour or maybe if you want to watch, I don't know, some college basketball games today. We're going to be out there for baseball's opening day. Maybe you're looking for a night out, viewing party, celebration, not to mention, of course, you can work on your golf game during lunch. They've got great lunchtime specials as well. And X Golf and American Family Field open 7 days a week, conveniently located for any time of the day. All you have to do is go to their website, xgolfamfamfield.com, to book your tee time and learn more.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I'm like part of the overall home office team that was fortunate enough to be invited to the party. So I'm attending. I've already RSVP'd, so I will be there.
Fridays with Mo.
I've never been somewhere before that was usable.
For what it's worth,
Charlotte Airport, which has some great sleeping pods.
Is there a prophylactic rubber in there?
No, there is not.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's
great to catch up with our boss, Craig Karmazin. Craig, how are you doing this St. Patrick's Day, Marquette in the tournament day, and as Rebecca Black is reminding us right now, Friday?
I'm doing amazing, but I feel like bars don't like it this way, right? Because it's like,
taking a few of their days that would have been good and putting it all in one day. So Ooh. Like, even if they have a massive day, I don't feel like it's as good as if these days fall on different days.
That's an interesting theory. Yes, you agree that?
Oh, they would probably want St. Patrick's Day on a Wednesday.
Of course.
Because then you... Because
you get a Friday crowd.
Yeah, you're getting a Friday crowd. You're getting a tournament crowd.
All right, I'll buy.
St. Patrick's Day is on a Wednesday. You get to double dip.
I'll buy that, Craig. Obviously, we are very excited about Marquette in the tournament. We are doing this contest with Scalzo and Brust where we pick against the spread. Gabe, to his credit, yesterday was thrown into the fire and was told to do this like an hour before the games tipped off and did pretty well, 8-8. And Scalzo and Brust did what? They got one better
nine
than
seven,
us, 9-7.
Yeah.
And seven. So any advice for picking against the spread on these games that are, you know, like it's hard to pick NCAA tournament games because there's a lot of like flukiness and luck and all that type of stuff. You got any advice for us picking these games?
So I've been thinking about it a lot lately because I've been traveling to Ohio, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, where, as you know, there is legal sports gambling. And I don't think there's that much that would have needed to happen different in my life that would have led me to be one of these people who is just at a like horse racetrack at 11:30, like screaming that it was fixed, that number six didn't win. So I don't think I'm the person. Like, I think I'm like one tick away from being able to be that like person who like didn't know when to stop. And, you know, I gambling on NCAA tournament games. I mean, I had Arizona in the finals. I thought Buzz Williams was going to have an incredible run. I thought that, you know, watching that game yesterday, I thought Maryland was completely outclassed by West Virginia. So I just don't think there's a system. I think the best way is to make sure you're playing with money that doesn't matter to you.
Craig, when I first met you, you were a huge Jets fan. Kind of dialed that back a little bit. But what's your takeaway on what has gone on over the last couple days?
So I think about Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and there could not be two more different people. And I don't know Brett as well as I got to know Aaron over the years, but there could not be two more different people. And when you think about how eerily similar the outcome is, I think all you can do is point to what is the similarity, and that is the leadership of the Packers organization, which is Mark Murphy. So I have situations like this that happen all the time in the company where you'll be like, oh, that entire team is this, or this whole group is that. And you have to figure out what the similarity is. And so to me, this is about the Packers leadership, and this is about Mark Murphy. Now, you may say, hey, this is a positive. They've had 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, so give Mark Murphy and his leadership a lot of credit, even though he wasn't there when you know, Ted Thompson was drafting him, you know, Bob Harlan was there. But I think this story is much more about the Packers organization and their leadership than it is about Aaron Rodgers.
So how do you think the leadership handled this situation?
I mean, I think we don't know, right? Because we don't know what the resolution of the situation is. So if it turns out the Packers are able to either end up with Aaron Rodgers as their starting quarterback this year, which, you know, who knows?
Right. No, can't say who knows when the Packers have stated they don't want him and he has stated he wants to go to the Jets.
He would never come back. He's never coming
again,
back here.
Again, I don't want to tamper. I don't know what's going on at this point.
What, are you, but, you a Packers mean, owner? Is this something that we're unaware of?
No, but to me, the idea of not having, you know, only having one team to negotiate with doesn't seem like as good an idea as doing this at the beginning of the offseason when there were, you know, five or six teams that were in a similar situation to the Jets and having more leverage and more people negotiating and trying to get a Russell Wilson-like haul for Aaron Rodgers. So at this point, it seems like the Packers have handled it terribly.
Yeah, but that is just, that's just retrospect. You're just looking, that's hindsight. Craig, you didn't know. Did you know that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be able to win, to get them in the playoffs and win some playoff games, get them to the NFC Championship game? Like, we didn't know that. And Rodgers certainly thought that.
If they had done this at the beginning of the offseason, if they were committed to moving on from him before Carolina had made their trade, before, you know, other teams had committed to quarterbacks.
But they were trying to be respectful of his process, him deciding if he wanted to play or not. Like, right? Because, again, the problem there is you can't trade him to a team and then him go, actually, I've decided to retire. So they were trying to say, hey, you go take your time, take as much time as you need, figure out if you even want to play, and then we'll, you know, exhaust all options.
Right. And I think what you're assuming is that there were open lines of communication so that they were doing that based on having a healthy relationship, which I don't believe they had. And again, we could put that all on Aaron Rodgers, but I look at Brett Favre and I look at him as being an entirely different person. And the Packers seemingly had the exact same relationship with Brett Favre. And we were in the exact same situation, right?
I disagree.
High maintenance.
Craig, Rodgers' thing is worse than Favre's. Favre wanted to play here. I mean, he wanted to play here. Yes,
Favre did not want to play. They both didn't want to play bad because they were that annoyed with the Packers organization. And the only reason they wanted to play is once the team had moved on from them. That's the common thread. You know, Jason will tell you, right? Brett Favre wanted to play again once the Packers said they didn't want him, once they had committed to Aaron. And Aaron wanted to play again once the Packers made the comments that they had moved on. I mean, that's how done these guys both were with the Packers. And again, that may be their way of showing the respect to the legendary quarterback. As Jen, you said, like, hey, they were being respectful of his process. That may be their way, but it seemingly motivates quarterbacks to want to play against them, not for them.
So who's winning the battle right now? Rodgers or the Packers? I mean, who looks better?
I mean, I think right now it's Pat McAfee, right? Like, he's the only one who's winning in this.
Got over a million viewers.
Right. I mean, there's only one person who got something out of it, and that's him. I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is winning from this at all. I don't think that the Packers are winning from this. The Packers, I think, are going to get significantly less than market value for a guy who I think is an MVP-level quarterback. And I think that's awful.
But
I think the Packers
I disagree
are
with you in this
to?
Space, Craig, because right now, yeah. Which of the two teams, between the Packers and the Jets, which one knows who their quarterback is going to be in the 2023 season?
I mean, right now, if you're assuming Aaron Rodgers will not be back with the Packers, which I'm not going to assume anything, then I think the Packers know who their quarterback is.
Then doesn't that feel like you're in a better position than the team that is hoping and praying and crossing all of its fingers that they can get the guy they want and don't have a plan B? As we learned yesterday, mm-hmm. They are not in on the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes, even if the Aaron Rodgers thing falls through.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Packers are in a better position when it comes to knowing who their quarterback is. But if you actually look at the roster and look at the makeup of the team, I don't know that you could have a much worse quarterback than they did last year with the Jets. And I don't know, wasn't their record better than the Packers? Didn't they beat the Packers at Lambeau Field? I mean, if you look at the roster and you look at the makeup of things.
But the Packers have an entirely different quarterback under center this time. Are you saying
So you're saying that Jordan Love makes them better than Aaron Rodgers?
That I'm not sitting here willing to manipulate the details to say that the Jets are in a better position when they don't know who their quarterback is, and that is the most important position on the field.
Yeah, if you're saying whose roster do I want for the next 3 years right now, I'll take the Jets roster over the Packers.
Not knowing who the quarterback is.
I mean, look at what Geno Smith did last year, right? I mean, I think if you get the right – if you have the right roster and you can get, you know, a professional quarterback, absolutely.
But look, we had this conversation about the 49ers, how Brock Purdy, yeah, you know, he could go out there and be Mr. Irrelevant. And because the 49ers had so many weapons around him, he was able to do some things. Obviously, the Jets don't feel that way about Zach Wilson, which right now is their
de facto guy.
But that's who they're going to right now if the Rodgers thing doesn't get straightened out.
With no backup.
There's someone they can get for a fourth round pick who could be an absolute professional quarterback.
Craig, with Rodgers, they're not even the top team in the AFC going into next year.
No, I mean, the AFC's stacked. But they're absolutely – I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, how many times out of 10 do you say that they finish ahead of the Dolphins next year?
Eight.
Yep. I mean, right. So then it's them and the Bills – And if you look at, you know, at them versus the Bills this past year, they played the Bills really tough. I mean, I think you're underestimating what their defense is. And I think you're underestimating, you know, their rookie running back who was hurt, who should be back. I mean, they have a good roster. And I'm the biggest believer that you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to get to the Super Bowl without a real quarterback. But I don't think the Packers are a Super Bowl team now. If we're really just comparing the Jets to the Packers, I think the Jets have a slightly better situation right now.
Craig, it is St. Patrick's Day, so I can legally call him Keg. KJM came up with a great scenario this morning, and that is, if a 16th seed had Giannis, could they win it all? I say no. No.
Wait, Giannis as currently Giannis?
Yes. Yes.
No.
This Giannis.
Not like 18-year-old Giannis.
Correct. No. This Giannis.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
They're winning the championship.
Yes.
No.
I say yes.
No.
And he's going to score 60 a day.
No.
They can't stop
you
him.
Double
in the
team him. A 16 seed has no offense whatsoever. You take your two big guys, and I'm not talking the first round.
Wait.
I'm talking going up against Purdue
seed?
Or something where you have
you
a great coach. You shut him down. No!
You can't shut him down in the NBA!
But all of a sudden, these college kids are going to be able to figure out a way.
I think a 19-year-old is crapping his pants.
Giannis.
Nope.
If you take 16-seeded Fairleigh Dickinson and you throw Giannis on them, become fairly ridiculous. And they run through the entire tournament.
That's a good one.
I'm telling you, they dominate this thing. You know, Yes, Giannis.
That could not have worked out any better, by the way.
Giannis's court vision and what he's able to do defensively, I mean, come on. The only issue would be Giannis getting into foul trouble. If you tell me Giannis doesn't get into foul trouble, then they are cutting down the net, and we are singing
one shining moment.
And it's like Giannis, Thanasis.
Craig.
No, are his brothers on the team also?
Well, naturally. Like, I mean, I think you assume so.
Deal.
Yeah,
deal.
It's a package deal.
They're
so.
Not allowed to play. I'm saying they're not allowed to play, but they're on the bench.
Well, you bring in.
Thanasis is the hype man.
You
he goes
bring
everywhere.
In Belichick as an assistant coach, and there's
Craig,
no way.
Craig, there's no defensive 3 seconds in college basketball. Giannis can just stand there and swat shots from here
until
eternity.
Yeah, but you just kick up threes all day long.
No,
no
you
way.
Put four guys.
You're crazy.
You have three guys guard the arc, and one guy kind of bounce around, and Giannis just protect the rim. By the way, Giannis will be able to extend out to block
it's
three.
It's 1,000,000% happening, too. I don't know why you're fighting
way.
This.
Yeah. You tell your two players, don't even look at the ball. You just look at Giannis, and you get in his mustache all day long.
They're staring at his nipples.
So Marquette's a two seed, Chu. Marquette's a two seed. Their starting center is 6'9". He's got no shot, like, defending Giannis.
How many times out of 10 do they win?
Now, the problem is when people fall in college basketball, they call charges a lot. So, I mean, it would take Giannis a while to adjust to those rules. So I think practically Giannis in one of these six games on the run, and I'm assuming they're not the 16 who have played the additional game, but if they had to do seven games, that wouldn't change my theory that much. I think Giannis runs into foul trouble in at least one game, so maybe they don't go all the way. But if you have a non-foul trouble Giannis, you win.
No. I'm not saying they're not going to get to the Final Four. I'm just saying they're not winning at all. I mean, I think Luka would have a better chance because he can just shoot from outside.
How much eligibility?
You're insane.
How much eligibility does Giannis have, by the way?
I'm just saying. Did he go
to college? Luka doesn't impact the game defensively in the way that Giannis does. I think that's why Giannis is the right guy to pick for this, where he's going to be so dominant on both sides of the ball. Which, by the way, just thinking about the same question with Brooke Lopez would be interesting. Because Brooke Lopez might be an
PTSD.
You are a toad. Hey, owner toad.
Can we not talk about Brooke Lopez in the NCAA tournament, please? Not on the day that Marquette plays, please.
Think about how good he was then, Jen. I mean,
I don't want
now,
to. I'd rather not.
It'd be impossible to get a shot off, and he'd be making every shot both inside and out. Like, how would you cover Brook
Lopez? Impossible to get a shot off. It's a big court.
I mean,
you move the ball.
He's lost like 10 shots a game in the NBA.
Yeah, but you shoot nothing but threes.
You think these kids are good shooters up and down the roster?
Huh?
Kansas probably has a couple of kids that are really good.
He can shoot.
You set up your defensive strategy, though, to filter everyone into the paint. You overplay people on the threes so that you're filtering everyone into drive.
It's fairly Dickinson.
Fairly ridiculous. 847 weighing in saying if a 15 seed can beat a 2 seed, then a 16 seed plus an all-time generational player, NBA player, will beat a 1 seed probably every time. Craig, we got to let you go here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great Friday. Happy St. Patrick's Day and go Marquette.
Happy tourney, go Marquette.
Next time you're craving a pizza that you just cannot ignore, head to Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Yeah, that's right. You probably didn't even know that St. Kate the Arts Hotel had a pizza place right in the lobby. But as you walk through, scents you can't ignore. Proof specializes in fast, casual, Neapolitan-style pizza, along with a selection of delicious appetizers and salads. Try a classic pizza like a pepperoni or a margarita, or you can experiment with more unique creations like the artichoke and chicken pizza or the Genoa pizza. Better yet, try the rotating pizza of the month option. Order at the counter of Proof or directly from the bar at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. You can explore the menu of Proof Pizza and learn more at Proof Pizza MKE, proofpizzamke.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
an
incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you put Giannis on a 16 seed, would they chip up?
I might believe if you put Giannis on a 16 seed, they can win it.
He changes everything at both ends of the floor for
he's
a team.
Most, well, him in particular, he's the most unstoppable force in the game of basketball.
Right.
Like, so if he was in college, just imagine.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Chew.
Nope.
What is your defense?
Football player. Put him on the team and beat the ever-living sugar out of him.
Okay.
But, so what, you're just going to have a guy foul out? Like, Giannis isn't used to having guys beat the crap out of him on a
just
nightly basis in the
through.
NBA?
But
cycle
also, just like, you don't know if you're going to meet the Giannis team in the NCAA tournament, so you just have this guy on retainer? He's just in case of emergency, break glass?
Yeah.
You bring the tight end from the football?
Just Fairleigh Dickinson is not a good basketball team.
They're good enough.
No way. You know, I'm not saying they're going to lose in the first round, but I'm like, when you meet the big dogs that have big guys,
that's all you're doing is
athletes,
playing the big dogs. You're starting as a 16, you're playing one of the best four teams in the country.
The only reason these teams beat them is because these other guys are like bored. You know what I mean? It's like us when we played the Colts. And the Colts had one win, and we are on our way, I think, to the second Super Bowl, and we're like,
not in a win or
go
home format. There's no chance. If losing means ending your season, you don't get bored.
Giannis is outscoring Virginia by himself.
No way.
He is scoring more Virginia, points individually than Virginia.
I'm not talking in offense like that.
I don't know. Like 50 something.
Who's the best team in college basketball this season?
Alabama's the one overall.
Are they good?
They're the number one overall seed. What kind of question is that?
This is like the same thing.
I just
Alabama? This is like back in the day when you're like, oh, Alabama could beat Jacksonville. It's no way.
No,
in
but
hell.
That's not what we're saying.
And that's so different. We're taking a pro.
Can you let me get out of this thing? I'm just trying.
Let me back.
Well, when you put it that way,
consider yourself
free. What's the poll at? Am I losing? You're not winning.
Consider yourself free.
We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.